This morning, we're going to be continuing our look at Jesus or the life or some attributes and qualities of Christ. We began looking at this last week, looking at this biblical identity of Jesus, who Jesus was, what was he really like, and how did he really interact with others throughout Scripture. Again, we mentioned that this was an important distinction or an important thing to look at because the biblical portrayal of Christ is often quite different than what our popular culture would say about Jesus. Last week, we looked at the attribute or quality of love and compassion. Jesus, we saw, certainly was loving and certainly compassionate throughout Scripture and in the way he interacted with others through his miracles, through his the many good things he did for them, but especially also through his teaching and ultimately through his death on the cross for all mankind. We saw, though, at times that love that was portrayed was maybe a bit different than what we might expect by today's standards of love. Sometimes it may have been even in such a way that by today people would say that is very unloving, and yet we know that it was indeed loving. And he would teach things and say things that people needed to hear despite the fact that it may have been very direct or very straightforward. Today we're going to continue looking at that, and the quality that we're going to look at about Jesus today is that he was very prayerful. He was very prayerful. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we are to pray without ceasing. And as such, we would expect that we would find Jesus doing the same thing. We would find a good example of Christ praying, and we certainly do throughout the New Testament. Jesus prayed frequently. As we will look, he often withdrew himself from situations entirely so that he could simply go to the Father in prayer. He would withdraw himself to a quiet, secluded place. We are going to look, I don't remember if you remember, last week I mentioned a few times as we were going across the attribute of love that in a few of those scriptures that we looked at, we saw some of this idea about Jesus withdrawing himself, about him going off to pray. And sometimes it was even in the middle of a very active situation. There were people flocking to him. His disciples were around him, and yet he would leave them and withdraw himself to pray. And I think that's a very good example for us to learn from. So this morning, as we get started, we're going to look at a few examples of Jesus praying and withdrawing himself to be alone. And really, when you look at this, if you take this idea further, we don't have time to cover every instance of when Jesus prayed, but if you look for these times when he prayed, to see that many of the times he prayed was before major decisions, major events in his life, when big things were about to happen, he would pray. I think that is a very good example for us to look at. The first time, though, that this morning that we're going to look at would be right after his baptism, or as he was baptized. And I would consider that along that line I was just mentioning as an important event. We see Jesus praying here. And we see, most of all, not only is it an important event, but it was such an important event that God saw it as such, as an important event. In Luke chapter 3, as John is preparing the way, baptizing people in the wilderness, he's preaching and baptizing people, we find in verses 21 and 22 of John chapter 3, it says, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Again, I think that sets a very good precedence for us. Christ here, as John is preaching, Christ himself is baptized, and we read that he was praying, he was baptized and was praying, and then the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended, and a voice from heaven came saying, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I have to think that if this is pleasing, if these things are pleasing enough for God to verbalize that to Christ, then it is something we should definitely look at, and we should definitely find that things that we should do in our lives that would be pleasing to God, and those are baptism and praying, and that's what we're looking at today. "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus is setting an example here for us. In Mark chapter 1, we have an instance of Jesus praying. We get a glimpse of him again, withdrawing himself from the situation to go pray. In Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39, or beginning in verse 35, we read this. It says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." We just saw Jesus prayed at a major event in his life. He was baptized and he prayed. Here, it's not necessarily a major event. Here we see he's not just praying at a major event, but he's taking the opportunity to withdraw himself to pray. It says it is described as rising very early in the morning. He didn't just pray when the time was convenient, when he had free time. He made a point to make time to go pray. He made a point to find time to pray. It says he rose up early in the morning before the sun had come up. It was still dark outside, and he departed. He withdrew again. He withdrew himself from the house, those around him, those who may have disturbed him when he wanted to pray. He went to a desolate place. Some translations read that as a secluded place. He went somewhere to be alone, somewhere where he could pray to the Father. He didn't have any racket going on around him. He didn't have to worry about others, you know, walking in and disturbing him here. And as we'll see, maybe there were some people in the town looking for him. He didn't have to worry about them finding him and disturbing him here. He wanted to be somewhere where there's no distractions, so where he could focus on what he wanted to do, on the prayer that he was trying to take before the Father. In verses 36 and 37, we see that very thing, that there are people looking for him. And Simon, verse 36, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you." There were people actively wanting to see him. You see, Jesus had been doing these miracles. He had been healing people. And people wanted more of that. And yet Jesus, despite the fact that there are lots of people looking for him, everyone's looking for him, despite that, he had to make some alone time for himself and God. He had to go to the Father in prayer. And you see, because the day before this, he had been healing people, casting out demons, but now he needed to focus on himself and God. And his response to Peter shows his purpose. Verse 38, and he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went out throughout all Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. And Christ did not come to earth simply to do miracles to do good. He didn't come to earth to do miracles because that's what people wanted from him, and he didn't come to please people with his miracles. In Luke 4:42, a parallel passage to this one, it mentions how the people there, the ones who were out looking for him, they wanted him to stay. He had been doing these miracles and casting out demons, and the people there wanted him to stay there in their town. They didn't want him to leave. But as we see here with Jesus' response, he couldn't do that. That's not his purpose. His purpose wasn't to sit in one spot and to continually heal these people or be there with one set group of people. His purpose was to preach the kingdom. And we see that. That's exactly what he tells him, Peter here. "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I can preach there also. That is why I came." Luke 4:43 has the same wording. "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." That's what his purpose was. That was why he was here. But as we see here, again, also an interesting note, he didn't let that task overwhelm him. He didn't just give and give and give to the point of just running himself dry constantly. He took some time to himself. We know he does take it all the way to the cross, and he does give himself ultimately, but he does, throughout his time on earth, he does take time to set aside some quiet time for himself, to be alone, to rest, and to pray to God, to focus on himself and the Father. If you will turn in Luke to Luke chapter 6, here we find yet again Jesus praying before a significant decision. If you go through the book of Luke, you'll see that's one of the things that is highlighted or is mentioned most or mentioned frequently is the prayer life of Christ, that he would often pray before these big events. And then you can continue that even through Acts, and you'll see that throughout Acts, you'll see Luke portray praying before major events throughout Acts as well. So it's something that Luke really emphasizes and focuses on in the books that he wrote. But here in Luke chapter 6, we have Jesus choosing his apostles, choosing his 12 apostles. Pretty significant event, right? And we would expect him to pray, if that's the case, where he prayed before major events, we would expect to see that, and he does. In Luke 6, verse 12, it says, "It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God." again, as we just saw, this time he goes off alone again. He went off alone. He secluded himself. He went off to the mountain, and this time he doesn't just pray, but he prays all night to the Father. He has this huge decision on hand. You know, he had to choose the apostles, 12. He didn't just have a handful. He had to pick from. He didn't have 12 where he's going to say, okay, well, there they are. No, he had many, many disciples that he had to choose 12 from. He's going to choose those who are going to be closest with him for the remainder of his life here on earth. So he goes to the Father. He goes to a mountain, and he prays all night long. Time and time again, we see this pattern. We see Christ praying before major events, major decisions. Just the chapter back in Luke chapter 5, we see yet again he had healed an individual. This time it was of leprosy, and word got around about this miracle, and others began to hear it, and they came wanting to be healed of him. But in verse 16 of Luke chapter 5, we see Jesus withdraw himself from the situation again. The crowd, they wanted to hear his teachings, they wanted to be healed, and yet in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. He was overwhelmed by the people coming to him. So he had to withdraw himself yet again to pray. And the wording here, the way this is worded, but he would withdraw himself to desolate places and pray, that is grammatical sense of that word, the wording there and the tenses of it, it implies and emphasizes the fact that this was a regular thing for him to do. He would do this when this would happen. When these people would flock to him, he would withdraw himself to desolate places, to secluded places, and pray. This was a regular practice for him. Think of the stress. Think of how overwhelming a situation like this would be. You know, he had a mission. He had a task, right? And as we already saw, his task was to teach. His task was to preach the kingdom of God. And the multitudes wanted it. They wanted to hear it. Some of them wanted to hear it, no doubt. Others, though, just wanted to be healed. You know, there's going to be those who are showing up, like when he was feeding the 5,000. They were following him, and they wanted to continue to follow him. He'd send them away because they just wanted their bellies filled. He's saying here, rather, you know, there would be some who wanted to hear it. There would be some who wanted to simply get healed. There would be some, no doubt, who just want to see a spectacle. See what is this great thing going on that I keep hearing about? He took time to withdraw himself, really to recharge, to refocus, to go to God in prayer. He didn't just run himself on an empty tank at all times. Other times we even see that it mentions he withdrew to secluded places, yet it doesn't even mention that he prayed. So he would at times also just withdraw to be alone. Other times he would tell his disciples to withdraw, to be alone, to rest. They themselves got overwhelmed, and we see that a few times. In Matthew 14:13, we see this. This is one of the verses I mentioned last week regarding Jesus feeding the 5,000. He showed his compassion on them. He showed his love through the act of doing this miracle, providing for them, but also in his teaching. But what did I also mention before? Well, what is the background that happens right before this, right? John the Baptizer had just been beheaded. And this was told to Jesus. And what did he do? As we saw last week, we skimmed over because that wasn't our focus, but we skimmed over it. It says in verse 13, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. He had just received word from his disciples that John the Baptizer had been beheaded. And he withdrew himself from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. He had just learned of the death of this great proclaimer of the kingdom of God. And when you go even deeper or farther than that, this was one of his relatives. He had just learned of the death of John the Baptizer, so he has to withdraw himself. He needed some time to himself, and that's what we see here. He withdrew himself to a desolate place. Sometimes we need the same thing, right? We get caught up in our lives. We get focused in on things, and that's our society, a society of nonstop, on the move, go, go, go. Always doing something. We get caught up with the people around us, on the task at hand. Maybe it's work. Maybe we get frustrated with the people at work. Maybe it's death in the family. Sometimes we don't think to slow down and pray. What is our purpose here on earth? Why are we here? And really, in reality, it's the same thing Jesus already said, to preach the kingdom of God, to teach the kingdom of God. That's what we should do. And sometimes we neglect that that practice, we neglect that is our focus and what we should be focusing on. And if our focus is more about our life on earth, about entertaining ourselves, about pleasing those around us instead of pleasing God, then we do need to take time to slow down and reevaluate where we're at. Go to God in prayer. Get into God's Word. Take time to be alone to study God's Word. You know, Galatians 1:10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." What is our focus? What is our primary task? Other times, though, we just need to get away from everything. Get away from everyone and be alone. Again, to think about where we're at. What are we focusing on? What should our focus be? It is necessary that we have time alone to really focus in on ourselves and make sure that we're conducting ourselves, our lives, properly in the sight of God. Make sure that we're living our lives and that it's lining up with what God wants of us, as we see in Scripture. In Mark chapter 6, and verses 30 and 32, we see a parallel passage to what we just looked at with Jesus learning about John the Baptizer being beheaded and withdrawing himself. We have a parallel passage to that in Mark chapter 6. Here we learn that Jesus was not only concerned about his well-being, you know, being able to have that time alone to go to God in prayer, but he's also concerned about his disciples, his apostles. In Mark 6, verses 30 through 32, we read this. It says, "The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while.' For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves." The apostles returned to him, tell him all that they've done. They've taught all that they've taught. And he says, "Okay, now come away and rest. Come take a break." They hadn't even had time, as it says there, they hadn't even had time to sit down and eat. And he tells them, "Okay, come to this secluded place, come to this desolate place and rest." And they did. They went off to a desolate place and they themselves rested. And again, I think that's an important lesson for us. We have to take care of ourselves. You know, we have to have time to ourselves to stay focused. If we don't, we'll get burnt out. We'll get burnt out and then we'll be good for nobody. We'll be good for nothing. If we don't take care of ourselves, we can't help others. And so here we see that Jesus tells them, "Okay, you've done many good and great things, but okay, come rest for a little bit." We can go on with passage after passage about Jesus praying, and you know, we haven't even touched on any of the sections of Scripture where we see his actual words in prayer, but rather just the times and the way he did go to pray. We don't have time to look at all of them, so I'm going to give you a list of a few more times where we see Jesus go to pray. And yeah, you can look them up on your own, look them up for yourself. We also see Jesus pray before Peter's confession, just before Peter declares that Jesus is the Christ. In Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 20, we see Jesus praying right before that. He prayed before he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am, and who do you say that I am?" We see Jesus praying at the Transfiguration in Luke chapter 9, verses 28 and 29. We see him praying before teaching his disciples how to pray with the model prayer in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. We see that he prayed before raising Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42. The entire chapter of John 17 is a prayer of Jesus just before he's about to be betrayed and arrested. We see him pray again three times in Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. There he told his disciples to pray while he went away off alone to pray, only to return to find them sleeping. It is here, in a parallel passage to this, in Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46, that we read that Jesus, you know, he was praying and he was sweating as drops of blood. Starting in verse 41 there, in Luke chapter 22, it says, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." He is in such distress. He says, "If it's your will, Father, please take this cup from me. Remove this cup from me." But his focus is always, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. He was in agony. He was in such agony and grief. It was such a burden upon his shoulders. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat is described as drops of blood falling to the earth. That's agony. That's pain. That's a burden. This is actually a genuine medical phenomenon that has been observed and reported. It's called hematidrosis, and is where the capillary blood vessels burst and your pores release sweat that is mingled with blood. This has been studied, and it is a condition that occurs under extreme physical or emotional stress, extreme mental anxiety, and severe fear. I would say all of those fit exactly with what Christ knew he was going to be facing in the coming days. It is exactly what Christ would have been feeling in anticipation of going through the Roman scourging, of having those closest to him betray him, being spit upon, mocked, and facing a cruel and agonizing death of the Roman crucifixion. Jesus prayed, not just while he walked this earth, but even while he hung on the cross. Even to the point of his last breath, even as they nailed him to the cross, Jesus prayed in Luke 23:34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We have record of how prayerful Jesus was from the time he was baptized to the time he was hanging on the cross and death was drawing near. And again, even with his dying breath, in Luke 23:46, he says, "Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." Even to the point of death, he is praying to the Father. And then even after his death, he prays to the Father. In Luke 24, he broke bread with some people and he blessed the bread in Luke 24:30. And then in Luke 24:50-53, he blessed his disciples before his ascension. Jesus was constantly taking time out of his day, out of his life, out of the activities of life, out of even proclaiming and teaching and healing. He'd take time out of that to withdraw himself to pray. These are just a few instances of Jesus praying and Jesus withdrawing himself to be alone and rest, to really, you know, again, reflect, to meditate on the task at hand, to go to the God in prayer. He prayed before major decisions, weighty events. He was God in the flesh, and yet he was also man. He faced all the things we face, the struggles, the temptations, the emotions, the anger at times. He was pushed to the very limits of anguish and agony, and he prayed at all of these occasions, at all of these times. He suffered so much for our sake, and we take it for granted so often by doing what we want instead of what we should do as God desires of us. And it may be that when that happens, when we do that, that we need to look at Jesus' example. That we need to withdraw ourselves from our hectic lives, withdraw ourselves from all that's going on around us, withdraw ourselves from the burdens that we face, and really take time to ourselves to go to the Father in prayer, to reflect upon where we are spiritually and where we need to be and where we need to get to. We need to make sure that we ourselves are right with God. Again, I've said it before, we talked about it in our Bible class, really. It's about doing what God wants, doing what God asks of us. It doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't matter what I think God wants. It doesn't matter what you think God wants. What matters is what God really does want. And we need to make sure that we fall in line with that. We need to take time to pray to God. We need to take time to spend some time alone praying and getting into His Word to make sure that we are living our lives in accordance with His will. If you are here this morning and you have not taken that time to get into God's Word and really find out what is it that God requires of me, what is it that God wants of me, what does it mean, or how can I even go before God in prayer? How can my prayers be acceptable in the sight of God? If you haven't done any of these things, or if you don't know how to even go about that, there are a few things you have to do first before you can be right with God. You have to hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 20:31. You must confess that Jesus was the Son of God, Romans 10:10, and you have to repent of your sins. That's part of getting your life right with God. We have to turn away from that, the lifestyle of the world, turn away from the sin, and put that behind us and turn to Christ, Acts 17:30. We have to be immersed into Christ through baptism. That is burying us into the death of Christ and being raised up in a newness of life. Acts 22:16, "And now, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And then after that, that's just the beginning. After that, we have to continue to be faithful faithful servants and faithful followers of Christ. We have to continually fall in line with what God wants of us. We have to remain faithful until death. Matthew 24:13. If you've done these things and neglected falling in line with what God wants, neglected focusing on God, and you need to make things right, the time is now while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.